Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. And as the gentleman just said, are you tired of spinning in circles? Today's show is especially devoted to you if you're tired of spinning in circles. Now, some of you are listening to the show because you want radiant health. You already have health. You want more health. Some of you have minor symptoms. Some of you are struggling with the deep levels of disease. We're all linked together in certain ways. And one way we're linked together is that all of us have an innate intelligence that connects and navigates us to a healing. Biochemical intelligence, we call this. Every scientist observes this. They'll even say something divine in human physiology that seems to give it an intelligence beyond what we can ascribe to the genes and other things. Something mysterious, something miraculous. Now, you have to push these guys a little bit to get them to talk about sacred and divine and things that are border on the miraculous. You see, you're not supposed to use the word God when you talk about science, but each of us has this inside ourselves. The question is, can we connect to it? And all doctors know some people are very good at connecting to this innate mechanism inside ourselves that we call healing. Some of us heal very, very well. Some of us don't heal very well. Some of us fight our healing. And this is where doctors don't spend enough time with their patients. Because people are practical. You're practical. You're listening to this show today, and you want practical information about healing because you've only got so much time, so much money, so much energy. You want to get a bang for your buck. You want to get return on your investment. And you don't have a lot of time for philosophy and theology and perspective. And yet, and this is the thing that amazes me over 25 years, what amazes me is that it's your perspective. It's you, the consumer, the patient, the client, the health devotee. It's you and your perspective about your journey that determines the success or the failure. Now, you don't think that. You think it's the doctor. You think it's something outside yourself. I know you think that. The public thinks that way. People run around. You run around looking for the doctor to find the cure for you. And whether that doctor is a surgeon, whether that doctor is a chemist using drugs, or whether that doctor is an herbalist, you're convinced that your problem resolves when you find somebody that knows what they're doing and knows what to tell you to do, and then it all happens. And finally, your search is rewarded. This is an illusion. It's a delusion. And again, when I make these statements, I'm never talking in the absolute sense. 99% of the time, it is a delusion. Now, I mean that literally. 1% of the time, there are miracles. God gives us miracles. Miracles in that sense of, well, you did absolutely nothing except show up, and the Lord granted you some sort of a miracle. They do occur. Doctors do have miraculous healings sometimes. But 99% of the time, you are delusional if you're looking for a doctor to come to your rescue. The miracle you're looking for, the miracle is connecting to that part of you that's divine, that once ignited, can navigate you to a healing. And the doctor is just a facilitator. If you got that, you got everything. People that understand what I'm talking about heal. People that nod their head and still don't understand it don't heal. People that disagree with it don't heal. People that don't get what I just said do not heal. You rarely see a healing unless people understand or can connect to that piece of them that tells them how to interpret every moment along the way. But not really dying when you think you are, that you're not really getting sicker when you're really on the verge of getting better, that when you feel flipped upside down and inside out and forlorn and forgotten and no one loves you, that really that's just a harsh day in the day-to-day of a healing. People that understand that, they can reach deeper than that and find out what their body's trying to tell them in any given moment along the way. And people that are good at that only see their doctor, or should see their doctor, as a facilitator to make that intelligence grow within them. That's big. Today's show, The Essential Thresholds of Healing. If you want to heal, listen to this show, but don't listen to it like you listen to other things. Don't sit there with your little notepad, just gathering the data, looking for the herb, looking for the phone number, for the insight. No, absorb this. Right there, you lose 80% of your population. That's not politically correct, right? It's not politically correct to say that when you talk like I'm talking, you've lost 80% of the population. Not politically correct to say that. Well, this is an age of political incorrectness. I think we're done with political correctness. So let me be politically incorrect. The concepts here today, most people aren't going to understand. And that's important for you to understand because you're listening to this show. And you're listening to the show because you do understand. But you also understand that there are many people and you interact with them each and every day. It can be a brother, a sister. It can be a boss. It can be a subordinate. It can be the local bank clerk. They are speaking a different language, and their language does not include anything I just said. And you need to know this because you are very different. You are very different. You have extra dimensions of sensitivity in your body. And you are sick because those dimensions of added sensitivity have not been honored. They have not been exalted. They were weeded out of you. They were squeezed out of you. They were beaten out of you. They were condescended out of you. They were tortured out of you. That's right. Well, we all know this. Children have faith. Children have faith. Children are pure. Children, by definition, are connected. Children do not question their experience. They absorb passionately their experience. They listen passionately to what their body tells them. Mommy, mommy, I don't like this. Listen to your child. So understand, this is information that you want to take into your soul. Today's show, The Essential Thresholds of Healing. Healing is thresholds. Now, last week we went into some of the laws. Healing's the stock market graph. Keeping a health diary. As you get better, you're going to break pockets of toxicity or infection, and you're going to get very sick. All normal in a healing, all things you don't really think about. That if you're going to heal, you have to get the organs of elimination open because there's layers. And the real disease, your disease is deep in a lair in your body. And until you get to that lair, until you get to the bone marrow, until you get into your nerve sheaths, until you get in the intracellular fluid of your organs, you're not going to see a healing. If your disease is part of a bunch of genes that you had a tendency to express, a greater tendency, breast cancer, BRCA gene, if your disease is genetically linked, it turned on. You got to get down on that. You got to go core in your body to turn that gene off. And don't let them tell you you can't. Don't let them take your faith away. Don't let them tell you that their garbage science trumps the Holy Spirit. Don't do that. Now, I'm talking to you as a scientist. I'm talking to you as an empiricist. The soul always trumps the medical records. Understand that. Understand the biochemistry will ultimately reduce to the biophysics. Understand biophysical medicine will ultimately prevail over our biochemical paradigm. Understand we're just waiting for technology to catch up with what we already know to be true. Understand that scripture teaches us that the body is essentially light. And understand that as the chemistry reduces to the biophysics, we're going to understand the body is light. We just don't have the technology. So your favorite physician at Kaiser Permanente does not understand that your disease exists in the absence of light. He does not understand that. That is alien to him. He'd say he studied a lot of chemistry. Really not true. But he'd say he studied a lot of chemistry. And that statements like the body is light has nothing to do with anything. In a short period of time, the world will know how much we have errored. The world will know that. Because we're going to discover technologies to prove that the body really functions on electromagnetic levels. Do you have that faith within yourself? If you bring yourself to understanding, if something within you understands you are energetic, meaning that reality is outside the material plane, then you can start to get tuned into things that are more subtle. You have to be open to that because the body will talk to you. It will tell you that when your infectious or toxicological pockets break open, that you're closer to a healing and not closer to a failure. It'll tell you that healing works like the stock market graph. It'll tell you that there are layers that are peeling. It'll tell you to get off this notion that your health is about fixing a symptom. Your health is not about fixing a symptom. Your body is trying to tell you, get off this notion of fixing a symptom. Your disease, your chronic illness is not a bunch of symptoms. Its solution lies, and your body is telling you this, if you can embrace it and listen to it. It's telling you that your illness is about getting healthy, not about focusing on your symptoms. It'll tell you that at the bottom of all of this, you were once a little girl, you were once a little boy, and you were wounded. You were significantly wounded. You were repeatedly and harshly wounded. And for as much as you grew into a fine young adult and felt that that wound had healed, it lives inside your tissues. And sooner or later, you're going to talk to it. In a healing, you're going to meet your wounded child. There are mechanisms inside us that can listen to all of these things. So to know truth, to be able to navigate to a healing, is really what a healing is all about. Now, what we're going to discuss today are these thresholds, the essential thresholds of healing, things that you want to see along the way. So if you said, okay, I'm sick, and I'm going to give 2 years to a healing, the first thing I'm going to tell you to do is don't measure your success reference to the symptom. If you have a disease or a chronic symptom, don't gauge success with respect to the symptom. Don't do that. okay? If you have rheumatoid arthritis and your joints ache, if you have cancer and you have a tumor, don't measure the month-to-month success based upon the joint pain or the size of the tumor. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you have any disease that you are taught with certainty serves as markers to the disease, a disease that, say, you take blood tests to determine the improvement or the deterioration, don't use those markers. It's counterintuitive. If you have chronic back pain, don't use your back pain month to month as a means of determining whether you're healing or not. These are mistakes. Why are they mistakes? Because the body is going to give you, it's going to lay on a platter improvement, but not the way you wanted it. If you've had back pain for 20 years, and suddenly in that next month your back pain is no better, but you're sleeping better, celebrate. Take from your body in a healing what your body gives you. Don't impose your will on the healing. Open yourself to what the body offers to you in a healing. That's not intuitive. The model we teach the public is to come into a doctor's office, lay down your symptom on a table, and expect, after you put some effort in, expect that symptom to go away. So you come in with low back pain, and in a month later, your low back pain is no better. But you've got more energy, but you're sleeping better, but your bowels are better, but your digestion is better. And you don't notice any of it because you're fixated on your pain. Don't do that. That shift is a threshold you have to cross. In the next 45 minutes, I'm going to go through a bunch of thresholds you have to cross. If you cross those thresholds, you get to heal. This is advanced. This is not what you think. What you buy onto when you get sick and decide to heal is not what you think it is. Doctors don't tell you this. Not in a functional way. What you, the consumer, the patient, the client, what you are missing is perspective. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Each week I bring to you on K-Bright an hour of commentary on essential concepts in healing. Not the herb you take to heal, but the concept you have to absorb. So when you take the herb, you know how to use the herb. This is what we're missing. Okay, there's a concept. Here's another concept. You have to inflame it to heal it. If you've got a problem with an organ, if you have emphysema, bronchiectasis, these are lung diseases. If you have cirrhosis, if you have fatty liver, if you have kidney issues, pick your organ, pick the disease. To get it better, you've got to inflame it. Now, there are reasons I could do an entire show on. But to get the type of macrophages in the scar tissue that you need to bring into the damaged organ tissue, to get the type of macrophages to produce the type of chemicals to eat up the scar tissue, you have to inflame it. Okay, here's another way of looking at it. Pruning roses. Why do we prune our roses? Why in the fall or the winter do we come up to our beloved plants, our roses, and why do we cut them down to nothing? Why do we damage them? You all have relationship with your plants. You all understand plants are like people. You understand that those things have alive, they respond to vibration. The way you touch them, the way you love them. Of course you do. Any good gardener knows that. Well, every year we torture them. We cut their fingers off. We take the plant all the way down. Why? Because it stimulates growth factor. It stimulates chemicals that can only be stimulated by inflaming the organ. Now, you have to know that in your body. You have to know that. You know, you see this with hepatitis all the time. You see this with cancer all the time. Donald Kelly would always tell people, if you do my therapies, the CA-125 is going to go up. The cancer markers go up as the tumor dissolves. Now, if you understand the science behind that, it's common sense. People that have gone the natural route for curing hepatitis C. Along the way, as the viral load drops, the liver enzymes skyrocket. And the liver enzymes are used to determine the health of the liver. And so when the liver enzymes skyrocket, the SGOP, SGPT, GTT, as the liver enzymes skyrocket, but the virus disappears, you're told you're getting sicker. You're more concerned about the liver enzymes than about the virus you were trying to kill anyway. Again, as you heal, you inflame the liver. So the liver enzymes are supposed to go up. Another concept, another threshold. Can you absorb the notion that you're going to have to inflame yourself to heal yourself? Do you feel like glue? If you're sick, you feel like glue. You feel like somebody just dumped you in a vat of Elmer's glue. Because if you lift your arms, it hurts. They're heavy. Just doing simple things like the dishes are painful. Getting in and out of the car is agony. Getting out of bed in the morning is a 40-minute proposition. If you're sick, you're living a whole different existence. And if you don't have a disease, you can still be very sick. You just don't have a disease. If you have all the symptoms of disease, but no one's given the disease a name, well, you might feel you're not sick. But you feel sick. But since you don't have a disease, you don't think you're sick. And you can last many years like that. No matter who you are, sick and named or sick and unnamed, your body feels like glue. Now, here's the threshold. The threshold is, over the months, do you feel less like glue? Go try that one on for size with your medical doctor. Say, I must be getting better because I feel less like glue. See, we don't think in terms of these languages, but these are the essential effective languages. They represent the critical thresholds. Meaning, day one on the job, Mary decides to heal. Month six on the job. Mary, do you feel more or less like you've been dipped in a vat of Elmer's glue? Oh, doctor, I feel much less. My arms are not as heavy. My joints don't hurt. Still got that brain tumor. Still have ulcerative colitis. I'm headed for surgical resection. I still have cirrhosis of the liver. I'm still leaking protein through my kidneys. My ventricular ejection fraction in the heart is still only half of what it's supposed to be, but I don't feel as gluey as I used to. Keep going, Mary. You're on your way. See? There it is. There it is. Case study. Word for word, point for point. This is how it's supposed to go down. But not if you have no concept of that threshold. There's a threshold there. There's something you have to cross over. You have to cross into an understanding that you measure efficacy because you feel lighter and less tied up like you've been in a vat of glue. Yeah, take that one to the bank. Very scientific. Do you feel like glue? Do you want to talk science, or do you want words out of experience to connect to pull you through a healing? And this is what you don't get normally. This is why I'm explaining it to you in this way. Listen, organs of elimination, if you want a healing and you're not seeing tons of green stuff pass into the toilet, bile, if you don't know what that means, listen to my other shows. By the way, if you're new to the show, welcome. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc. You have to listen to this show many times. If you are a radio hopper looking for the best herb, this is a different show. 304 hours on there. Doesn't cost you a penny. Just put your email address in and listen to the shows. Because if you connect to these shows, my welcome newcomer, this is how you heal. This is how you navigate. You just don't throw your money into the stocks, right? You just don't take your life savings and just throw them into the stock market, do you? No, you learn enough about investment. You learn to understand the concepts, and then you do so with discretion, with some semblance of how you can evaluate your choices. That's what nobody teaches you in health. I'm telling you, that's the problem. The cures are out there. You have enough information on YouTube to cure anything. But what you don't have is the perspective required to understand how to use that information. This is the great mistake with YouTube. All this stuff, all this computer garbage. Do you think we're any smarter 30 or 40 years later because of computers? Do you? We're not even close. Dumber and dumber are we getting. No two ways about it. We've replaced research and objective thought with data acquisition. And our schools up to college and grad level just represent curriculums that ask you to acquire data and do low-grade moronic inferences and deductions. Creative thought is to the wayside. Acquisition of data and the rate at which you can absorb data is what you're tested on today. This is not good. And this is in direct response to the computer. Steve Jobs did us a lot of good. But we have to know how to use that tool. And what you, the consumer, suffer from when you look for your solutions to your health problems is not an acquisition of data issue. The information's out there. The reason we are no healthier than we were 30 or 40 or 50 years ago is because we don't know how to use that data. We don't even have a language in the health field to use that data. So let's continue today. Healing is about crossing essential thresholds. Here's another one. Before you get anywhere with your health, you have to have bile in the toilet. You've got to have all your precipitates. I mentioned this last week. I'm kind of repeating this part of it again. You have to have the organs of elimination open. That means the calcium oxalate, calcium phosphate, uric acid has to be dissolved out of the body through the kidneys. And what's congested in the kidneys has to be dissolved out of the kidneys. The biliary ducts have to wring clean. The lymph have to be degranulated, degranulation of the lymph. If you watch the lymph flow, it can become extremely sluggish. If you take bodies and dissect out the nodes, you can see fibrosis in the nodes, none of which will ever be diagnosed. Nodes have rates of flow. Lymph nodes can be more or less congested. Biliary veins can be more or less congested. The kidney can be more or less congested. The mucus in the intestinal tract can become so stagnant that it can become so thick that it can create a mild layer of slime on the bowel wall. The skin can become locked with precipitate. In other words, the skin can get to the point where it fails to assist the kidney in detoxification. The skin is the third kidney. And if you're John Smith and you're tired of being sick and you're spinning in circles and you're running around looking for an herb when the organs of elimination have not been thoroughly processed through the various detoxifications, I'm not talking one. I'm talking per organ, 10 to 15 to 20. I'm talking about detoxification through the elimination, organs of elimination can take months. Another concept that we have to embrace is healing is not a detour. It is your journey. Or 40 or 50 or 60 years of abuse. You don't cure in 3 months. So to open those organs of elimination is a prerequisite for a healing. I didn't say it's the healing. I said it's the prerequisite for the healing because healing occurs in layers. Here's another threshold. Sleep. Sleep is another threshold. Are you that part of the public that thinks that it's about 5 straight hours, and if you do 5 straight, you're doing well, and we all live happily ever after? Listen, that statement, I don't know where that statement comes from, but let me say this. 5 straight is better than 3 straight. And 5 straight is better than you're up every hour urinating. So 5 straight is a good marker. But somehow this got twisted into, well, can't be sleep. I sleep 5 straight hours. I don't know about you, but I can live on 5 straight for a long time. I'm strong enough to do that easily. I can live on no sleep for about 4 or 5 days. But I'll tell you, I don't feel well. I feel myself dragging. I get 6 to 8 straight. Because that's what I need to stay strong. And then there's the quality of that sleep. See, we leave this out. Another threshold you want to embrace is the quality of your sleep. Go out to the desert, put your head on the dirt in a circular tent of organic material, lay down a futon mat, and go to sleep. Go sleep in nature. Go to a cabin in nature and sleep. And do that. And feel your sleep. Many of you are going to say that night, that morning, many of you are going to say, I haven't had a sleep like that in 50 years. That's what you're going to do. You're going to remember sleep. Look at your children's sleep. If you want to heal, you have to evolve across thresholds, the quality of your sleep to the way your 6-year-old sleeps, to the way your 10-year-old sleeps. Look at kids' sleep. When kids sleep, they sleep hard, they sleep long, they sleep deep, and nothing wakes them up. And kids that can't sleep, they are suffering from the beginning. A kid not sleeping means there is a failure to thrive. And we are here to thrive. We are not here to get by. We are not here to get to the end. We are not here to sit in a chair the last 10 years on 10 different medications, glad that we're not in an old age home. We didn't come here for that. We came here to thrive till the day we close our eyes and meet our maker. That is what we're here for. We're here to see our dreams come true. We're here to learn why we came here. We're here to get what we came for. That's what we came to do. And you've got to be sleeping with a quality, an intensity, a pleasure like you did when you were a kid. It may take you a year. It may take you 2 years to evolve to that. The true, deep, dramatic phase of reparation, regeneration, doesn't occur in the first year. Are you kidding me? Is there any equity to a healing of 50 years of deterioration in a month or two? Where's the equity? Shouldn't the soul, shouldn't your connection to God have something to do with a great healing? Shouldn't it? Isn't that fair? Doesn't that seem righteous? Poor people can heal faster than 99% of people with money. I'm telling you that right now. Poor people heal. Rich people have a much tougher time. There's another thing nobody wants to tell you. You know why? Because poor people, well, you know, you can't make these broad range generalizations, but I'll tell you, a lot of people with many compromise themselves in terrible ways. They don't want to admit it, and money writes history, and money makes the laws, and money determines who gets to talk on radio shows, and money does all sorts of things. But the bottom line is, a lot of people with money compromise themselves. You meet enough poor people, connected to the soil that talk to God every day. You know that story of when people travel. Come on. You know that story. People travel and they go to those third world countries where people live on 40 cents a day or something. They live in poverty. Maybe they live in agony. They live in war, pestilence. You've heard those stories, right? People from America go there. Or they even go to places in America like the Appalachians. And they weep because of the dignity and the humility that people demonstrate. A lot of those people heal. It's your connection to God. It's your internal sincerity that connects you to a healing. It's not a little thing, it's a big thing. Your intuitive faculty determines your healing. There's a threshold to the intuitive side of you. How are you choosing your food? When you detox, is your intuitive faculty guiding you to a perception of detoxification? When you detox, can you tell underneath the pain something good is happening? Do you have the intuitive finesse to realize that? When you're going through emotional shifts in a healing, when you're going through emotional shifts of large magnitudes, you want to leave your job, you want to leave your relationship, you want to change your relationship, you want to completely alter the focus of your life as you throw off the burden of your existence and move towards a freer state. It's intense. It's like someone pulled the rug out. Do you have enough intuitive finesse to realize that you're in a good transition, that your world is not falling apart? That to build it up, you've got to break it down and you're in breakdown phase. Do you have enough intuitive faculty to understand that? This is where connection to God comes in. When old symptoms return, I had a guy years ago at 70 years old, all the symptoms of tuberculosis come back. I saw somebody else at a certain point, all the symptoms of polio came back. Yeah, try that one on for size. Come into a detoxification therapy and wake up one day with polio. Yeah, he had polio when he was a kid. The polio went away. He overcame his polio, and then one day he couldn't move his leg. The question is, do you have the intuitive faculty to understand that this is a good bump along the way? See, these are the things that determine healing. That you absorb concepts. Let me ask you this, food. I ask this to people all the time. What food are you craving? That's a key consideration. What food are you craving? If in any given moment you cannot answer that question, you're still lost. There's no such thing as not knowing what food in any given moment your body really wants. But you have to train yourself to listen. You have to at least understand you're going through phases. I needed fish. I need beef. I don't need beef. I need lamb. I don't want to look at meat. I need raw vegetable. I don't want to look at vegetable. I need fruit. I need sweet fruit. I need citrus. I want fat. Just give me fat. I don't know what it is. This week I ate 30 eggs. 30 eggs. See, that's the way it's supposed to work. Does it work that way? Are you eating intuitively? This is what I'm asking you. Do you live with an intuitive sense of where to direct yourself with the food? Has the intuitive faculty in a healing begun to open itself? You heard the expression, life is zigging and zagging. You got to zig right and zag right. It's a New York thing. Life is choices. Choices over 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Choices over four decades determine the quality of your life. Based upon what do you navigate your choice? Same thing in a healing. Same thing in a healing. At any given moment, that intuitive sense of you has to be growing. If from an intuitive standpoint, you are no different in day one than you are in your second year, you're lost. Your doctor's lost. We've all missed the point. Success in healing is about growing your intuitive centers. Try that one on at a science forum and see what that gets you. The autonomic nervous system. The shift. Those of you who listen to the show regularly, when and how often do I talk about sympathetic dominance, autonomic balance? From week one to year two to year six, to understand in the experience of you what it is to shift into the parasympathetic nervous system, out of sympathetic dominance and in to the parasympathetic nerves. If you're going to give words to a healing, you're going to talk about that. The autonomic threshold. Have you designed your healing? Do you have a consciousness about crossing into the parasympathetic form of existence? Do you feel yourself going in and going out? So, you know, we all admit that stress causes disease, and we all know we're stressed. Then tell me something. If this is the case, if we understand this, why don't we organize the efficacy of therapy around that shift? I always put that polar bear, you know, that YouTube clip I do on the polar bear, where the polar bear is shaking. Just one of those things nature does, and as we lose our connection with nature, these moments become more meaningful, hopefully, rather than more meaningless, which is predominantly the case. We don't even know what nature is. Nature's a rose garden outside your house. Out there in the world, in the woods, in the forests, live animals, and those animals live in accord with nature. They are our intuitive masters. And one thing those animals do is shake it off, like the polar bear shakes it off, like the kitty cat waves it off, like your doggy dog goes out and bites the head off an animal and then comes into the house and lays on the floor and gets pet with your children all night long, your cute, cuddly little doggy dog. Well, those animals are connected in a wonderful, wonderfully effective way to the parasympathetic side of their nervous system. They know how to relax. And when they do, and here's the point, they go into waves. Do you go into waves? When you pray at church, when you do Bible study, do you get so connected to God that you begin to flow in waves? Some of the evangelical Christians understand this. Not that every waveform is godliness. But when people discharge pounds of agony from their body as they connect to God, it is known that they will go into waves. That is what your cat is doing every single day. That is what your dog is doing every single day. That is what you will accord in nature every single day. And that is why I put that video on the polar bear. Now, it's 2017. This isn't the Spanish Inquisition. This isn't the Crusades. It's not 14 or 1300 AD. It is 2017, and we need to wake up because we are going down. Who are we kidding? Who are we kidding? What do you see out there in America? Those of you past the age of 50, what do you see out there in the world as compared and contrasted to when we were little kids in the 60s? What do you see? I know what I see. The writing is on the wall. We got to bring in the higher, deeper concepts. And this thing about neurological discharge, healing is a neurological discharge. When you heal, you discharge neurologically all the garbage that got stuffed down your throat. You exercise this from your body. You liberate it from your organs. Read Candace Pert. Read Wilhelm Reich. This is an electromagnetic perception of what you're really doing in a healing. And these cleanses and these herbs are simply a matter of facilitating that liberation. Now, if you can grasp what I'm talking about, pat yourself on the back. Truly, lift your head high, pat yourself on the back, and walk proud. Because you realize we have the vast majority of people, even the ones interested in holistic medicine, who are looking for the magical herb to supersede everything I've said today. I wish them well. And if you can get out that easy, God bless you. But many of you can't. Worse yet, how many people are being sucker punched into unnecessary surgeries and use of pharmaceutical drugs each and every day? This is not a trend that's decreasing. This is a trend that's increasing. And the media just keeps finding more garbage rationalizations backed by pharmaceutical and vested interest groups. And the one you're going to get buried in over this next decade is genetics. You're going to be told that the increase in chronic disease is just a matter of genetic expression, and no one's going to have that discussion about epigenetic factors, and no one's going to be discussing why 300 or 400 years ago none of this disease existed. Why are we arguing about the cause of cancer? Why are we arguing about Alzheimer's, Parkinson's? Okay, another threshold, the autonomic threshold. How about the postural threshold? The postural threshold. Have you, from week one to week two to month one to month six to month 12, shifted posture? Because Rolf told us structure determines function. The anatomy determines the physiology. How do you fix the heart or the lung if the body hasn't realigned? How do you fix the reproductive organs? How do you fix the kidneys? If the structural piece has not hit a critical threshold to where the alignment has permanently shifted, done. Done. How about feelings of joy? How about this? Look, my tumor is no smaller. My kidneys are not functioning any better. My liver after the first 6 months is just as cirrhotic, but I don't know what it is. I just feel happier than I've ever felt. How come that doesn't count? How come that doesn't go down on the notes? How come that isn't put on your clinical exam? How come in every recheck, every 6 months to a year, underneath the lab tests that showed no improvement in organ function, does not the physician write down, but in capital letters, B-U-T, patient claims to have more frequent feelings of joy? Why is that not relevant? Why does that not serve as prognostic to cure? Why? Because we don't know what we're doing. You're not to be focused on the symptom. When you can say, I don't know what it is, I don't feel better, but I have a more joyful feeling about things. Have your dreams begun to change? These are thresholds. I look at you like everything I've mentioned in the last two shows. You don't look at you that way. I hope increasingly you'll look at you that way. I hope increasingly you'll understand that it's your perspective that you bring to the healing that determines your success. I hope if you're lost in the labyrinth of health, I hope if you're feeling abandoned because you've spent so much money over 2 to 3 to 4 decades and really got nowhere, that you have to understand that it's the shift in your perspective that means everything. How about more sensitivity to herbs? More sensitivity to herbs. You take an herb and you say, I don't feel anything. 6 months later, you take an herb and you say, I feel everything. Concept. Threshold. A threshold of understanding. A threshold of experience. Experience that you have to work for the herb. Not the herb has to work for you. You know, JFK? Ask what, not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country, right? He flipped it around. Flip it around. People say, I took that herb, it didn't work for me. No, you took that herb, and you didn't work for the herb. Think about that. Has anyone had that experience? You see this all the time. When people heal for months, first of all, herbs don't work unless the palate's clean. You have to clean yourself. You have to get off the garbage food. You have to stop lying to yourself, lying to your doctor, lying to whoever you're lying to about your diet. Your diet stinks. Yeah, I know it's good. You go to Whole Foods and you buy the good stuff. Your diet stinks. And when you watch people, the minute people really change their diet, they really cut out the junk, they really do it. I don't care if they eat at Ralph's. If they really cut the garbage out, you see the change. And that's when the herbs start to work. You got to clean out your body. There's another concept. There is a threshold of cleanliness in the body that's required to facilitate your experience of the herb. The herbs are waiting for you to cleanse and purify. You know, this is particularly an issue with your adaptogens. When an herb traditionally offers big benefits, you know, like take this herb, live to 200. Take this herb, father children at 150. Take this herb, grow all your hair from gray back to black. That kind of thing. You know, speed up the 100-yard dash to 9 seconds. That kind of thing. The adaptogens that offer these legendary, mystical returns, those herbs, you just take them, right? Fat Harry, the cab driver, you know? McDonald's 3 days a week, not singling out guys that drive cabs, or guys named Harry, just an example. These herbs don't work for people who are abusing their bodies. We went through this with ginseng. Ginseng at one point. We even sold ginseng on counters at 7-Eleven. This notion that just, oh, find that herb and take it and it'll bestow. Just spend a lot of money on it, too. Ginseng is worth more than gold, some levels of it. Just find an expensive adaptogen, take that down, and watch the magic. It doesn't work that way. Herbs don't work that way. Herbs want you. You know, there's a saying in Vedic, Ayurvedic medicine that basically says when the food is right, you don't need herbs. And when the food is wrong, herbs don't help. And that's not 100% true, but the bottom line is herbs need you to purify for them and not the other way around. That's fascinating. Isn't that fascinating? It's all fascinating. Now, what you need to do is call 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Stop procrastinating. We're coming into the spring. We've got a ton of good weather between now and next December. Make the move. Call. Make the appointment. Come see me. I'll put you in the right course, and then you just have to execute. 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. We will see you next week. That's a wrap.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.